Don't be like Abraham. Because God sees me, I must stand for righteousness. Amen. I must stand.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear the concluding part of Pastor Brian Grant's message entitled, You Matter, God Sees You. Last week, Pastor Grant showed us how Hagar, the mother of Abraham's son Ishmael, learned, out of deep distress, something about God's concern for their plight when he came to her as El Roi, the God who sees. We also saw how Abraham's failure to wait upon God, acting instead upon social convention, brought terrible consequence upon his family. In the concluding part of this message, airing tonight, Pastor Grant will return to Genesis 16 to show what it means to you and I today that God, our God, is a God who sees. Here now is the concluding part of the message, You Matter, God Sees You. And once again, here is Pastor Grant.
What happened last week? You can shout back at me, anybody who remembers. What happened last week? The Bible says that Abraham what? Believed God. God says to Abraham, step outside and look at the sky. He says, see if you can count the stars. And God says, I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. And Abraham believed God. And one chapter later, his wife says, why don't you have sex with this lady? He says, okay. And when she got pregnant, come on now, why did he allow her to be abused by his wife? He says to his wife, do whatever you want to do with her. Why didn't Abraham take a stand? Sadly, too often folks go along to get along. We fail to stand for righteousness. And I want to encourage those of you, some of you are in the workplace, some of you are in a high school, some of you are in universities, and God is calling on you, on me, on all of us to take a stand for righteousness. Our society is rapidly disintegrating. And more often than not, Christians are doing like Abraham. The Christians are gradually like Abraham, going along to get along. So the society can come up with all sorts of newfangled things, and your friends are discussing how wonderful these things are. And although you know these are contrary to the will and word of God, suddenly you have a speaking problem. You have locked jaw. And God is saying, listen, don't be like Abraham. Because God sees me, I must stand for righteousness. Amen. I must stand. I want to talk to some of you dads. Because we have too many dads in our society who are like Abraham. Dads without a backbone. Dads who have no idea what's going on with their kids and who don't really care. Enough is enough. And God is speaking to some of you this morning, and he is saying it is time for a change. It is time to stand for righteousness. It is time to guide your children in the path of righteousness. Amen. Some parents don't want. I'm talking to moms, it's not only the fathers. Because let's be honest. Some families are raised by moms. Moms who, I just want to be her friend. You ever heard a mom say that? I just want to be her friend. You ain't her friend. You are her mother. That's the first responsibility you have. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you might become friends. In fact, I think my boys and I are very good friends. But it's not because I was trying to be their friends. Remember when my first son said he wants to come and work with me? My wife said, Brian, I don't know how that's going to work because the two of you knock heads so much. Listen, you see, there was a time he figured he's here. There was a time he figured, Dad, don't know a thing. You know, there was a time he thought I knew something. But, you know, kids get to a point where they figure, Dad, don't know a thing. He is stuck in which year? I need to pray for Dad that he can get out the 60s or the 70s, you know. But I found out that after a while, I actually heard him telling somebody, you know, that actually makes some sense. Do you realize that when you decide to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, when you decide to take the scripture and live it in your home and deal with them and discipline your children, even though they may cry? The Bible actually says if you give them if you discipline them, they won't die. Did you know that? Oh, you say, but brother, society says, here we go again. Society says that you should just speak to them. I want to tell you, I'm so glad my daddy didn't just speak to me, because I might have been in jail today, but my dad put the rod of education on the seat of learning. Now, I'll be honest with you. I didn't intend to tell you this. I was a tough head. It was not, my brother is here, he'll tell you. It took them a long time to get me under control. As Richard will tell you, I would take the spanking and smile. Give me, is that it? But you know, after a while, it adds up. And after a while, my father realized he could increase the dosage. I'm saying, parents, do you know that almost all you need to raise your children is in this book? Do you know that this book is a book of wisdom? Do you know it's full of practical advice as to how to raise your children? And I am recommending to you, do it God's way. Don't worry about what Dr. Sue said or Dr. whatever said. Go with the book, amen? Lesson number three. Since God sees me, I need, by the way, I'm not talking about child abuse. So don't you ever say I'm for child abuse. Never, ever. Don't grab that flying plan and hit that child in any part of his body. I said it to you before and I'll say it again. Never discipline a child while you're angry. Did you hear me? Abuse happens when you're mad. When you're mad, you grab the nearest whatever. No. And I want to tell you, it's even more effective. So you sit the child down. Oh, I'm off. I better get back on my message. Sit them down. Let them know I have to calm down. And let them know it's coming at such and such an hour. Let the steak marinate. Let's just marinate. But don't be one of them pretending dads are pretend. I'm going to get you. Come on. Bible says, let your yea be yea and your nay nay. If you told a kid it's coming, let it come. Let it rain. Too much, I'm going to, and you do nothing. You realize, I'm going to say to you, you are hurting your children when you do that. But this is not a message about parenting. You are hurting your children when you say what you're going to do and you don't do it. You're showing how unreliable you are. You're not showing how loving you are, how unreliable you are. So you better make sure before you say what you're going to do, it is a reasonable thing that you intend to do. Lesson number three, since God sees me, I need not run away. I better move on. In Genesis chapter 16, verses 6 to 9, Abraham said to Sarah, indeed your maid is in your hands, do to her as you please. Verse number 7, she fled. Hagar fled. The angel of the Lord in verse 7 found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? She said, I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarah. The angel of the Lord, by the way, many times in Old Testament when you see the angel of the Lord, it is actually talking about the Lord himself, as is very clear from this passage. The angel, particularly when it's an uppercase A, the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply. Only God can multiply anybody's descendants. I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be counted for multitude. Amen. It wasn't Hagar's idea to sleep with Abraham and have a baby. but she was the one suffering. Have you ever been so frustrated and hurt that you felt like running away? Is that where you are today? It could be because of a bad marriage. Do you know that sometimes married people feel like running away? It could be because you have a mean boss. Hagar decided to run away from everything, but in the middle of the desert, Hagar met God. And I want you to notice something here. God linked Hagar to what she was running from. Did you notice that in verse 8? God says, Hagar, Sarah's maid. Sometimes you think that if you run away, that's it. But God is linking her to the very thing she is running from. And I want you to realize that, because in case you think when you have run away, you have really run away, God is going to link you with what you have run from. But second, I don't want you to miss what God said in verse number 9. God says what? Return and submit. Is God crazy? Does God understand what's going on here? God, you the cattle on a thousand hills are yours. God, why don't you just give her a big endowment of cash so she can go back to Egypt and set herself up? God, is this the best answer you have for her? He says to her, return and submit. This was tough, particularly since Sarah probably hadn't changed. But you see, God was telling her this because he would help her face the challenges, and he was really telling her, you can take it. Warren Wiersbe, who was a well-known Christian writer, author, had done a lot of Bible commentaries. He was pastor of the Moody Church and was the voice on Back to the Bible broadcast. Warren Wiersbe once said, life is 10% what you make it and 90% how you take it. Did you get that? Life is 10% what you make it and 90% how you take it. Now, I don't know if it's percentages, but you get the point. Hagar could either keep running, or with God's help, she could go back and take it.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. Or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
I believe this message is for somebody here this morning. You know, sometimes kids feel like running away. One of my children who will remain unnamed to protect the innocent, one of them at one point, they were so angry, they told my wife they were going to run away. And so my wife hurriedly packed a small suitcase. You're probably listening and said, what an abusive set of parents these are. My wife hurriedly packed a suitcase, took the suitcase, put it on the step, and escorted that particular child on the step and let the screen door close. She left the screen door open, the door open, so she could see what was going on. Guess what the child did? The child didn't move an inch. I am running away. The child has all the tools. You notice I'm protecting the sex of the child, the identity. The child had all that was necessary to run. Feet and a suitcase all packed. Listen, you know, sometimes, and I'm talking to the kids now. You see, I try to cover everybody here. Some of you young people, you get so mad with your parents, you know.
I want to run away. I want to.
Kid, just remember your parents love you. They're the best thing you ever got, other than eternal life in Jesus Christ. Amen. They're the best thing you ever got. So you need to get rid of that crazy thought in your mind and, in a sense, return and submit. Yes. Start obeying your parents rather than, I am. Obey. Oh, I hope somebody heard that. Obey, obey, obey. that there might be a husband or wife on the verge of splitting. You just can't take it anymore. But since God sees you, you need not run away, because God sees you and He will help you rewrite a new story for your marriage. Amen? Isn't that what we preached on last week? God can what? Rewrite your story. And I'm here to tell you, right now it seems so hopeless. Oh, I'm just here to let you know, my brothers and sisters, we have had the joy of seeing people who are already divorced fall back in love and remarry by the power of the Almighty God. And He can rewrite your story. So if you're here and you're thinking of quitting, or you're here and you've already quit, you're separated, you're divorced, as long as neither of you have remarried, the game can still be on. Once somebody is remarried, that's the end of that story. But I tell you, until then, God can rewrite that story. I know it's not going to be easy. You know, God doesn't necessarily, on our Sunday school class this morning, Brother Jim spoke about the person building their house on the rock versus the person building their house on sand. And one of the points that was made, the person who builds their house on rock, it is hard to build on rock. But what security, what permanence, that house on the rock was able to withstand the storms that battered and buffeted it. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, that what God is asking you today is not easy. He has a way of not asking you to do the easy thing. He asks you to do the best thing. So I want to challenge you this morning. Return and submit. And I know for some cases it's going to take wisdom, because if you're not exercising wisdom, you may make a bad situation worse. So make sure to seek godly advice before you take action. But if God is speaking to you, you need to respond to God. Fourth, since God sees me, I have great value. Since God sees me, I have great value. Hagar was a woman in a male-dominated world. She was pregnant, used, rejected, and alone. And at the very moment she was at her loneliest point, that's when God showed up. Hagar was valuable to God. Socially, she was of little value, but she had met someone who valued her greatly. You know, I may be speaking this morning to someone who feels like Hagar. You've been so beaten up, you don't think you're worth much. But you're worth much to God. I don't want you to ever forget that. Because God sees you, you are valuable. You are worth much to Him. Oh, I know there are people who have been abused in all sorts of ways. Some people, perhaps you're here this morning and you have been sexually abused as well. You have been physically abused. You may be emotionally abused. There's so much stuff that has gone down in your life that right now you are lacking in self-esteem. You feel broken. You feel messed up. But today God says, I see you. You have value. You are valuable to me. As I was preparing, I thought of this verse which we're going to put on the board to help you understand how much value you have. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 45 and 46. I'll put it on the screen. And the Word of God says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You say, Pastor, who was that merchant? It's Jesus. Who is the pearl? Us. You. All your wretchedness, all the stuff in your background, all the stuff you have did, all the stuff people have done to you. It says this merchant was searching for a pearl of great price. And it says when he found this pearl, he went and what? He sold everything. Isn't that what God did? Jesus, very God, stepped down from heaven to this earth because He was saying, you and you and you and you are valuable to me. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. You see, listen, the mess and the stuff people have done to you, sometimes we blame God. Don't blame God. What people have done to you just shows how awful and sinful the human heart is. And that's why that is what has separated us from God, the thing called sin. You've got it just as much as the person who abused you. And this is why, sadly, people who have been abused often become abusive themselves. Listen, because there's this thing in us called sin. What did God do? Jesus went to the cross of Calvary. He laid aside all his glory in heaven. He comes to the cross. He allows them to beat him and to bruise him. And he hangs on the cross. He takes the full punishment your sin and my sin deserved. He took it all on the cross. And he's saying from the cross to you, I love you. You are valuable to me. You are so valuable that I am willing to die for you. This morning, he's going to ask some of you to respond and say, God, if you love me so much, I want you to forgive me. I want you to cleanse me of my sin. I want you to come into my heart and into my life. God, I thank you that I am so valuable to you. God sees you, and because God sees you, you have value. So the question is, are you a part of his church? Are you a part of this pearl of great price that he purchased on the cross? You say, how do I come? Because we're not asking you to join this church. You see, becoming a part of the church happens when you establish a relationship with God by faith in Jesus Christ. Hagar was so excited. She used the name of God that does not appear anywhere else. She says, El Roi, the God who sees me. She got so excited. She named the well in his honor. Are you excited that God sees you? I close with a story. A boy in Burma, now Myanmar, was sent to a Christian school. The Christian schools provided the best education, so his parents sent him there. And after a while, he began to question his faith in the gods of his parents. So his dad decided, you know what, I better take him to one of the magnificent temples to show him our gods. So his father took him to one of the largest Buddhist temples so he could see the gods at close range. And he showed him the images covered with gold ornaments and surrounded by flowers and candles. And then the dad said to him, look, son, here is a god you can see. He said to his son, son, the Christians cannot show you their god, but here is one you can see. The little boy said, Dad, we can see this God, but he can't see me. He said, Dad, although we cannot see the Christian's God, he sees us all the time. I'm glad I have a God who sees me all the time. So no matter what you're going through, just remember, God sees you.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. Or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you to tune in the same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.